guys are going through right now. And we're wondering what in the world is going on, not only in our churches and in our families and in our country and in our world. You hear about the tsunamis taking place, an earthquake in Haiti this morning, and you hear about all those things taking place, and you're wondering, who is really in control? Who is really steering this ship? Is God really in heaven? Does He really care about us? May I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God really cares. But may I also tell you that there's times that God says no to our prayer. And we think, that's not fair. Why would God say no? Because everything works out for those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now here in the book of Acts, chapter number 12, in chapter 11 we see that the church is beginning to grow, and we're seeing that the giving, and we talked about that last week. But here's something that we touched briefly on a few weeks ago, but verse number 1 of chapter 12. Now at that time when those things were taking place, Herod, he was the king, he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He was sick and tired of hearing how the church is being successful. He was sick and tired about what was going on, about Jesus being lifted up. Verse number two, he says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. He heard what was going on. The Jewish people came to him that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They came to him and said, you've got to do something to stop this movement. You've got to do something to get rid of these believers. You've got to do something to stomp out these Christians. So the king, willing to listen to the Jews, instead said, you know what I'll do? I'll start by killing their leaders. I'll start by getting rid of those who are propagating this propaganda, who are telling these false lies. I'll start with them, and then the movement will go away. May I tell you, brothers and sisters, that if Christianity is just a movement, it will go away. But Christianity is not a movement. Christianity is about a relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come on now, people, is that right? Is your God alive this morning? Do you have a personal relationship with Him this morning? Is your God capable of doing anything this morning? Say amen to that. So he kills James. This is John's brother. He kills him. Verse number 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, during the time of feast then. So he took him and put him in prison. And when he apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers, a bunch of people around him, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So as soon as they got done with the Passover, they were going to kill Peter too. But look at verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Sometimes all we can do is pray. Sometimes all we can do is pray. Matter of fact, that's all we can do is pray. Now, we try our own efforts and our own abilities, and we try to manipulate this, we try to manipulate that, and we try to make this work and that work. Brothers and sisters, may I tell you, God's the one that's in control. And God says, I want you to pray unto me, and I want you to bring your requests unto me. Now, why in the world did God say no to their prayers? When they captured James and they took him in and they apprehended him, don't you believe the church was praying for James? I believe he was. I believe that they were praying, saying, oh God, please release James. But James was killed like that. And now here's Peter, and he's in jail. He's been apprehended. And I'm sure the people were gathered together thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? Are they going to kill him too? And as they gathered to pray, I know in the back of their minds was this, we're next. We're next. They're coming for all of us. And I'm sure it flashed back to when Paul, his name was Saul at the time, when he was persecuting the church. And a knock at the door meant death. A knock at the door meant imprisonment. And so I'm sure as they were gathered together, They were going to God, and I'm sure they didn't care about the football scores. I'm sure they didn't care about where the next meal was coming from. I am sure they were on their knees saying, "Oh God, you got to do something. Oh God, you know what's taking place here, God. We believe that you can." How many of you believe your God can this morning? I mean, honestly, we're all going through something, brothers and sisters. Some of us are going through rougher waters at this moment than others, but guess what? We're all going through something, and tomorrow your smooth water may become rough. And your rough water today may smooth out tomorrow, but guess what? Our God is the same God. And I'm not just talking about a feeble, "Now I lay me down to sleep" kind of prayer. I'm talking about a prayer that, "Oh God, only you can do this." And as they were gathered that day praying, and I'm sure that we're bombarding God, "Oh God, please do something." Are you desperate enough to pray that this morning? Are you desperate enough that you can say, "Oh God, you've got to do this, because I can't"? I talk to many people, and I say, "What can I do?" And they say, "Nothing but pray." And it seems that we say that flippantly, and I'm not saying that you are, but sometimes we just say, "Well, just pray." Well, brothers and sisters, when it's all that we can do is pray, that's the most powerful weapon that we have, is prayer. And I'm sure as they began to pray, as Peter was in prison, maybe in the back of their minds they probably thought, "You know what? We're praying, but it ain't getting no good. We prayed for James, and look what happened to him. We prayed for these other people, and look what happened to them. We prayed for Stephen, look what happened to him." And now Peter's in the same situation. And I'm sure that there were some who in the back of their minds thought, "This isn't no good." How many of you, be honest this morning, said, "Brother Brian, I've prayed, but I really didn't believe it would come true"? How many of you, be honest this morning, you prayed that way? Come on now, I'm the only reprobate in here. "Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray because the Bible tells me to pray, and I'm going to go ahead and pray because everybody else is praying, but you know what? It's really impossible. It ain't going to get done, get taken care of." We've all been there, whether you want to admit it or not. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ is all we have, He's all we need. Let me repeat that again for you this morning. When Jesus Christ is all that you have, He's all that you need. They were praying. They weren't praying to Jupiter. They weren't praying to Venus. They weren't praying to the other gods that were surrounding them. They were praying to the living and true God. They were praying the one that created them. They were one that was praying to the one that saved them. They were praying to the one that was coming for them. Who are you praying to this morning? Many of you know Miss Neal had a stroke, and she's in the hospital this morning. We've been praying for this. You know why I've been praying for Miss Neal? That the doctors would have wisdom to know what to do, Miss Reva. Praying for God's will be done in that whole situation. Some of you are going through family tragedies, and you're going through situations. You know what I'm praying for you? That God's will be done, and that you'll have the wisdom and strength to know how to deal with it. Brothers and sisters, either we pray in faith or don't pray at all. No. Pray. I love what the man came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief." He said, "Brother Brian, I pray, but I really don't know if it's going to happen or not." Pray. "God, help me this morning. God, help me." So they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying. And we saw last couple weeks, we went all the way down through verse number 6, all the way down to verse number 16. We saw that Peter was freed from the prison. And I'm really wondering, as they were gathered that day praying, and they prayed all night long, did they really believe that God would free him? Did they really believe that God would free him? Look what it says in verse number 15. Verse number 14. Go back down there. Verse number 13. I got all out of communication here. Verse 13. And as Peter knocked, he got freed and he went to the place where they were gathered praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, and her name was Rhoda. Now, usually when a gathering believers was gathered together and they heard a knock at the door, it was not good news, especially in the middle of the night. It was usually, hey, somebody's here to capture us. Somebody's here to kill us. And we're in a lot of trouble. So the knock comes at the door and they hear that. She says, oh no, what's going to happen now? Verse number 14, and when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the door, but she heard Peter. When she knew his voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but she ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now, poor Peter, think about this for a minute. He's been released from prison. The gates opened up. The angels delivered him. He's walking the streets at night, and he's out there knocking, let me in, let me in, let me in. And the Rhoda hears, oh, Peter, I'm so glad you're here. And the gate doesn't open. And I'm sure Peter's knocking, thinking, okay, are they going to come get me? Let me in, get me in here. And looking around, and Rhoda, where are you? And she's gone. And I'm sure all kinds of panic beginning to go through Peter's mind, thinking, oh, they're going to come get me. Surely they discovered I'd escaped by now. Surely they know that I'm not there anymore. They're going to come and take me back, and they're going to kill me tonight. Rhoda, how many of you understand that was probably going on? I would be doing the same thing. Knocking. Rhoda, Rhoda. She goes running in, and she tells them, hey, Peter's outside. And they said unto her, you are crazy. You're mad. But she constantly affirmed that he was even so. And then they said, no, it's got to be his angel. Wait a minute. She comes running in. She says, hey, guys, Peter's outside. And they looked at her and said, are you out of your mind? Now, wait a minute. What had they been praying for? What were they praying for? Peter's release. They were on their knees begging God, and I'm sure they were crying out to God, oh God, please release Peter. And here Rhoda comes in and says, hey guys, Peter's outside. And they said, are you crazy? Aren't we like that sometimes? We pray and we pray and we pray, and God says, okay, here you go. And we say, are you crazy? Surely not. God really didn't answer my prayer. He really didn't meet my need. And we kind of believe, it's not really true. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you this morning. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But sometimes God says yes. Hallelujah, can I get a witness? How many of you need a yes this morning? So, Brother Brian, I don't know what I need. I know what you need. You need Jesus to show up. Amen. See, you're crazy. And then they said, well, it's not really Peter. It's just his angel. So they had an ancient belief back then, even the Christians believed that an angel represented each and every single person, a guardian angel. And so they said, it's not really Peter. It's just his guardian angel that's representing him at the door. See, sometimes we don't believe that God really wants to answer our prayer. But in spite of our unfaithfulness, God still answers. So he's knocking. Let me in. Let me in. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him. And it says, they were astonished. That's the look that was on their face. Really? Is that really you, Peter? Now, how many of you believe this really happened? Come on now. Do you really believe that God made this take place? Is there anything too hard for God? For with all things, it's possible. In Christ. Brothers and sisters, God knows what's going on. Was he fully aware of what was going on with James? Yes. Was he there when James was killed with the sword? Yes. When the tragedy's taking place in our lives, is God really there? Yes. He's there in the no. He's there in the maybe. He's there in the yes. And they were astonished. But he, Peter, says, verse 17, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, he says, settle down, guys. He says, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, this is what God did. He didn't say, this is what I did. I did my ninja moves, and I got there, and I did the Chuck Norris move, and I kicked him, and I gave him an elbow to the face, and I knocked out those prisoners, and I cut my chains off, and I walked out of there, and I was big old bad Peter. He says, no, this is what God did. Brothers and sisters, when the impossible happens, you've got nothing to do with it. It's got to be God. It's God that does it. And I just pulled a hamstring. Amen. It's God. But then look what he says here. There's a phrase that we miss. And he said, verse 17, go show these things unto James. Now, who is James here? Wait a minute, James is dead. Not the same James. James is Jesus' half-brother. Go get James and tell James what happened. And he said, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with anything? I'm glad you asked that question. I want you to go to the book of James real quick. Return to the book of James real quick, chapter number 1. A few years after this event took place, James wrote these words. And I'm sure James was one of the ones that was praying, and I'm sure James was one of the ones that was wondering what was going to happen, and I'm sure he was mourning because James, the brother of John, had died. But look at what James writes here. Verse number 1, chapter 1. He identifies himself. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. He says, I'm writing to everybody. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, full confidence, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him pray that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith. Let him pray in faith. Let him believe that God will answer that prayer. Because it says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Brothers and sisters, when you pray, believe that God's going to answer according to his will. Believe that God's going to answer according to his time. Believe that God's going to take care of the situation. I'm sure James prayed, and when they came to James and said, James, guess what? Peter's free. Nah. So I believe that when James wrote these words, he was thinking back to that night, thinking, we prayed and we trusted that God's will was going to be done. Let me show you one other part. Go down to verse number 11. Oh, I'm sorry, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But let every man, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every gift, or every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God answers the prayers and He gives us what we need, when we need it, how we need it, in exactly the amount that we need it. He answers prayer. But it may not be how you need it answered right now. But God knows how you need it answered, when you need it answered. I've got a prayer request this morning on my heart, several of them. Some of them are personal, some of them are for family members, some of them are for some of you that I know what's going on in your lives. My prayer is this: God, Your will be done. Either I believe He will or believe He won't. I don't want to be like the wave. I want to be rock steady in trusting that God's will is going to be done. The waters are rough right now. And maybe they're overwhelming to you. But my God, the Creator of the water, is the one who's in total control. Is your God alive this morning? He's God. Pray, believe, trust. Let God do what needs to be done. Y'all come on up. I asked them to sing a couple more songs of invitation. Here's what I want you to do. If God's spoken to your heart, you just need to come and pray about something, I want to invite you to come. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, I invite you to come this morning. Let me, somebody else, take the Bible and show you how to know Jesus Christ your Savior. Some of you need to come hit this altar and say, oh God, you've got to meet the need. Oh God, you've got to take care of it. But brothers and sisters, don't sit there like a lump on a log. Trust God. Let Him handle the situation. I'll meet you down here if you need to pray. Everybody stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. They're going to sing this morning for us. I'll meet you down here.